Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you this morning. We just got done singing Anchor for the Soul, Shelter from the Storm. I've been driving through a few storms the last few days. My son Daniel, who's back in class right now, and I just put about 1,800 miles on the car the last 4 days as we traveled to Richmond, Virginia, to say goodbye to my 100-year-old grandmother that passed away just a few days ago. But it was great to get time with my son and to have that bonding time. But we went through some doozies of some storms. I'm telling you, in the mountains of West Virginia and Virginia, in Richmond, they got 7 inches of rain overnight at the airport. So long story, but even in, you know, the smallest thing, God has to be our anchor for our soul. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I'd like you to open your Bibles to Mark 5 this morning. I just want you to bookmark that for a second. We'll come back to it. So I hear you guys have been doing a lot of lessons on grace the last several weeks. See, you got to have grace. See, I had that wrong, didn't I? You thought I was going to teach about grace. I just wanted to make sure you had grace this morning. We're going to call the lesson this morning, Determined Faith.
Come on.
You've been talking about faith. We can't continue to the very end of our time on this earth if we're not determined to do that, no matter how the times are going for us, right?
Come on.
You know, how many of you heard that saying before? You've seen it go around on several places. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Isn't that so true?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going through a battle right now. You don't know much of what it is. But every single person in this room is presently going through something.
Yeah, that's right.
The question is, do we care enough to get involved? Do we care enough to reach out to Jesus and be more like Him and help each other in those trials?
Come on.
In every single crowd, including in the Bloomington Church of Christ, at whatever time it is, 10, 15, 12, 17, whatever it is, there's somebody going through something right now.
Yeah.
What is it? I don't know. It could be financial hardships. There's probably a few in here going through that.
Yeah.
There's probably some broken relationships in the room.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a child that you've been praying about to come to the Lord for the first time. Maybe you have a child that's left God and you're praying for them to come back. Maybe it's praying for an aging relative that's never made the commitment to follow Jesus all the rest of their days. Whatever it is, you can take it to the bank that somebody in this room is going through something.
Yeah.
I'd like us to pray together.
Come on.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we're here this morning to worship You.
Yeah.
We're here for You. The doors are open because of You. And Father, we pray that the singing, which has been awesome so far, we pray for the fellowship, we pray for the communion, we pray for every aspect of our service to reach Your throne and put a smile on Your precious face. Mm-hmm. But Father, even as we leave here today, our worship You never stops. Our fellowship must go deeper than what it does here in just a few minutes. Help us to make those appointments, to get involved, pray for, pray with, love upon each of our brothers and sisters is the best we can do.
Amen.
Father, we love You with a great love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, how many of you follow the musical group Third Day? Anybody know who Third Day is? Well, they had a song about 5 years ago called I Need a Miracle. Right? Not one of us in the room does not need a miracle in our life.
Yeah.
If you don't think you do, you're in greater need of one than you think.
Well, there you go.
But that song, which I won't sing, goes something like this. She said, thank you. I don't blame it. Late one night, she started to cry and thought, he's not coming home. She was tired of his lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord, I need a miracle. The woman in our story in Mark 5 this morning,
come on,
clearly needed a miracle. Let's go there now.
Come on,
we're going to start in verse 25. This story is sandwiched at the beginning and the end of a great story about Jairus, the synagogue leader, who had a 12-year-old girl, he and his wife, that was dying, right? Actually, she did eventually die, right? It's sandwiched in there. You got a Christian leader, a synagogue leader, someone who was respected and admired. But here we have just one of us. We have a lady that's going through normal life, suffering.
Yeah.
And God wants to heal her just like he wants to heal all of us. Amen?
Come on.
Verse 25. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd, touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see, the people were crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering."
Amen.
First point I'd like to make to you this morning is we got to have a desperate faith. You remember when you were first studying the Bible, first contemplating becoming a disciple and all the commitment that would go with that. You recognized your desperation. Are you still desperate?
Come on.
A year later, 5 years later, 15 years later, 30 years later, are you still desperate for God?
Come on.
Let's be honest. That desperation wanes sometimes, doesn't it? We got to get the desperation back. You know, we won't call these points per se, but Mark actually gives us 5 details about the bleeding woman's condition. I think you'll find them interesting. Her disease was severe. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. That qualifies as severe, right?
I would.
Painful. Slowly killing her. Her disease was chronic. Again, 12 years. 4,360 days. Chronic. That's not just a phase. That's not just a season she's going through. This is chronic.
Yep. Come on.
Her disease was incurable, or so it appeared from a worldly standpoint, right?
Yeah.
This brave woman was not content to let her illness kill her. Her physical disease actually increased her suffering. Her medical treatments continued to make her suffer. Her disease was worsening. She went broke trying to get help from the medical profession.
Yeah.
Medical treatments were actually making the problem worse. Are you with me?
Yeah.
There's a reason why doctors, quote unquote, practice medicine.
Yeah.
Right? It's a little bit of a roll of the dice. Some are better than others, right? But it's still a roll of the dice. But don't misunderstand me. Doctors aren't trying to kill her. They're doing the best they can. They're doing the best they can with the skill and power they have,
right,
which is limited, just like you and me.
Yeah.
Her disease was isolating. Think about that for a minute. Her disease was isolating. If we read Leviticus 15, which we won't, you can go back there and read sometime in your quiet time. We'll see, according to the law of Moses, a woman that's bleeding, has a discharge of blood, was commonly considered unclean,
yeah,
like a leper, an outcast.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. Everywhere she slept or sat would be considered unclean. No direct contact with people. If she was married and had a family, think about the lack of contact she actually had with her family. She was like a leper. 12 years! Can you put that into perspective? 12 years! From the time you enter your first grade classroom, you probably remember your first grade teacher, right? Maybe it's Mrs. Jones. Maybe she had an apple on her desk. And it wasn't a computer for some of us, right? From first grade to the time you get your diploma when you walk after your senior year in high school, that whole time she was bleeding.
Come on.
Puts it into perspective, doesn't it? Do you think she ever lost hope somewhere along the way?
Sure.
Had to. She was human, right?
Yep.
Like us, we lose hope along the way. You ever donated blood to the American Red Cross?
Yep.
Pretty cool, right? Feel good about doing it? What happens after you donate blood to the Red Cross? What do they offer you after you're done?
Juice.
Juice and? Snack, somebody said snack, which often includes what in the snack?
Sugar.
Often includes a cookie. What's my point in all that? Never refuse a professional's advice to take a cookie. There's your green light to have a cookie, right? But you're weak is the point. You're weak after giving blood, right? You think the bleeding woman was weak? Not only physically, but spiritually. She's also poor, right? Completely broke. She spent everything she had trying to get well. I imagine family and friends tried to chip in. This is before GoFundMe. But I imagine they tried to chip in and help her.
Yeah.
Faith fights fear.
Come on.
You know, have you ever prayed for anything in your life for one time a day for a number of years?
Yep.
I have. Yep. Some of you know our story about our children. The quick version is, Rebecca and I tried for 15 years to have children the natural way. We start a almost 5-year adoption process. I think it was 4 years and 10 months when it was all said and done. 5 years, we'll round up. Along the way, we had 7 what the world would call failed adoptions. We know that just wasn't God's plan for those children, right? He had another plan for them and for us. But then he brought us 3 at one time. 3 at one time, I always joke, we never got to play man-to-man defense. We went straight to zone for you basketball fans, right? God has a great sense of humor, doesn't he? But my point in that, you can take it to the bank that we prayed at least once a day, sometimes more, but at least once a day for those, what is that? You know, I can't even do the math right now. Almost 5 years. What, 58 months? I'm not even getting to half of 12 years. You with me?
Yeah.
4,380 times. Can you fathom her consistency? Can you fathom her faith? Can you fathom her determination? Are we still determined like that with our challenges, brothers and sisters?
Come on.
Why does Jesus even ask, "Who touched me?" Jesus knows everything, right? He asked to prove that he alone can heal. So that that story could be passed on for generations, including us here in Bloomington this morning, who have the privilege of getting to read it. That's why he asked. Okay, I've said a lot, but now I get to the second point. We've got to have confidence in Jesus.
Come on.
We've got to have confidence alone in Jesus, don't we? The bleeding woman could not control what was happening to her, could you? But she could control her response.
Yep.
Isn't that the same challenge with you and I?
Yeah.
We got to control what we can control. There's always three parts to everything, especially in relationships. We can't do God's part. Only God can do that, right?
Yep.
I can only do my part. I can't do your part. Everybody's got to do their part. She couldn't control her situation, but she could control her response, and her response was determined faith. True faith maintains hope, even if it's up and down, even if it's all around, it's holding on. Anchor for the soul. Jesus is our anchor for the soul, right? Chronic bleeding, medical malpractice, and financial destitution, she would not be deterred. And oftentimes, I'm deterred by much less. How about you? You still have your text open there, I hope. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Well, wait a minute. She heard about Jesus. How? How? Maybe she was at the wedding in Cana. I don't know. We don't know for sure, but she heard about Jesus. How did she hear about Jesus? Where did she hear about Jesus? When did she hear about Jesus? Somebody smarter than me probably has that answer. I don't have it this morning, but she heard about him.
Yep.
That's the important thing. She heard about him like you and I heard about him. Got to think, because of her condition and because of everything we've already discussed about her limited access to people, her possibilities of hearing about Jesus were very limited, wouldn't you say? But when she heard that Jesus was returning to Capernaum, she saw her opportunity.
Yeah.
She saw her opportunity and she took a risk. She's not supposed to touch anybody, is she? She's not supposed to be among the crowds. She's looking at it like, I got one shot.
Yeah.
I'm dying. What do I have to lose? I've got one shot, and it's Jesus. Maybe with your situation, you've played all your cards. We know we're not supposed to play all our cards first. We're supposed to play the Jesus card first, but we don't, do we?
Come on.
She's down to her last shot, and it's Jesus. Verse 27 also tells us she touched his garment. She reached out, touched the tussle of his robe. She trusted Jesus. Do we still trust Jesus? Verse 28, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. It will happen. I can almost guarantee it, she's saying. We say we love Jesus, and I believe we do. But we've got evidence here that she loved Jesus. She put her love what? Into action.
Come on.
Faith so strong that she knew she would only be okay if she touched him. Why? Because she heard about it. She heard about the miracles he was doing. She heard about the compassion that Jesus had.
Yeah.
She knew about the healings because of his heart and because of his compassion for other people. She knew because she heard. Somebody told you about Jesus.
Come on.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
There's other people outside the room. We've talked about in the room. There's people outside Bloomington Normal, Springfield, where I'm from. There's people that are hurting that need to still hear about the Jesus we know.
Yeah, that's right.
In her time, there was no newspapers. There was no printing press. There was no Facebook. There was no channel, whatever it is, 2 News. There was no Google. Somebody had to tell her about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And even though we have those things now, God's ways have proven time and time again that He wants to use us. Amen?
Yeah.
My last point.
Come on, Steve.
I think we've got one more maybe. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Walking with Jesus is hard, isn't it? But when I look at where I've came from, when I look at the life I was living before I met Jesus, you've heard it said before, the worst day in the kingdom is still better than the best day in the world. Because we were lost in our sin, weren't we?
Yeah.
So whatever day you're having, whatever week you're having, whatever year you're having, even if it's the worst, don't give up. That's what Jimmy Valvano, head coach of North Carolina State, said at the ESPYs, I think it was 1993, just a couple months before he passed away. If he can say that fighting cancer a few weeks before he dies, as disciples of Jesus, we cannot give up.
Come on.
Too many people still need to hear the gospel. Yep. Still, too many of our brothers and sisters need the encouragement that you specifically are designed to help them with.
Come on.
There's still too much work to be done for us to give up now.
Right.
Back to our story in Mark 5. Verse 29 says, immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. You see, physically she was healed. Spiritually we've been healed by His wounds. Is that still your conviction?
Right.
We've been healed. You can't have a real, authentic encounter with the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and not be healed at a heart level. You can't.
Come on.
The cure she sought for 4,380 days came like that. Snap of a finger. Instantaneously. What numerous doctors could not achieve, Christ responded with power instantaneously.
Yeah.
The power left him. Are you kidding me? Where else does that happen? No recovery needed. No anesthesia necessary.
Well.
No prescription to pick up at Walgreens. Healed. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Your sins are forgiven in the waters of baptism, right?
Yep.
If you have the faith that goes along with it.
Yeah, come on.
But there's still baggage we got to deal with when we come up.
Yep.
We're a new creation. That means we got the Holy Spirit to help us start dealing with that baggage that didn't stay in the water. You with me?
Yeah.
We need help till the end.
Yeah.
Because I got a lot of stuff I need to unlearn, but that's another lesson, right?
Yeah.
There is undoubtedly a time in your life. You might be going through it now. You may have just come through it. But Jesus said, you will have trouble.
Yep.
It's a promise. It's going to happen. And if you've just come through a valley, a wilderness experience, praise God. The great thing is you're going through means you will get through. With Jesus, you will come through the other side.
Yeah.
But get prayed up. Because there will be another one.
Yeah.
He's making you stronger for the next one.
Yeah.
But what is it for you? Hey, I'm going to be real. Maybe your marriage isn't exactly reflecting Christ right now.
Come on.
Maybe your spending on your credit card isn't because of medical issues. Maybe it's because of greed. Maybe you've got more house than you can afford. Maybe you've got some addictions. And they can be many, right?
Yep.
Addictions come in many forms. There's help.
Come on.
For all of these things.
Yeah.
There's people that have gone through them that God is using to help other people now. Get help. Get financial advice. Pray with people. Join a recovery group. Whatever you're struggling with, get help. Jesus wants you well.
Yeah.
And He's willing to do His part. But then there's our part again, right? Are we willing to get the help? Kind of like the man at the pool, right? In John 5. Jesus asked him, do you want to get well?
Yeah, good question.
His first response was a couple of excuses, weren't they? But once he decided, once he counted the cost, he eventually got well, didn't he?
Amen.
Do we want to get well of what ails us? How determined is your faith, Bloomington?
Come on.
Will you be known by how desperate you are? Will you be known for your confidence in Jesus? Will you be known for never giving up, no matter how bleak it looked?
Come on.
Will you be known for determined faith? Because when we compare our story, and it's real, what we're going through is real. I'm not minimizing what you're going through. It's real, but it helps us to put our situation in perspective with someone like the bleeding woman who dealt with it for 12 years.
Yeah.
Because when we get desperate enough, we will reach out again to Jesus.
Yeah.
We will reach out and just want to be close, just want to be in the neighborhood, just want to touch the garment, right? Push through the crowds, push through the doctors. Even comes a time when we're desperate enough, our brothers and sisters help us, amen. But we just got to have Jesus, right?
Yeah.
When it gets to that point, help me find Jesus. So my brothers and sisters can help me find where He's at. And if I could just touch Him, if I can get to that level of desperation, be determined enough to have enough faith, whatever I'm going through, the situation may or may not change, but I'll be in a better place in my soul and in my heart.
Right. Come on.
Because I've been touched by Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me share this morning. It's been an honor. Look forward to worshiping the rest of the morning with you. To God be the glory. Love you all.
Amen. Thanks, Mike.
Amen. Let's all stand and sing.